The gospel is from Luke, chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Soon afterwards, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the gate of the town, a man who had died was being carried out. He was his mother's only son, and she was a widow, and with her was a large crowd from the town. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came forward and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say, rise." The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized all of them, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has looked favorably on his people." This word about him spread throughout Judea and all of the surrounding country. The word of the Lord.
I want to start out with a little story about a river. We'll probably end up with a little fable about a river, too. But what I want to start out with is there was a grandmother talking to her little grandson one day, and she wanted to convey what was something very important in her life. And she said, "My child, before I knew Zen, the mountains were just mountains. The rivers were just rivers. When I began to study Zen, the mountains were no longer mountains, and the rivers were no longer rivers. But when I finally understood Zen, the mountains were once again mountains, and the rivers were rivers." Her little grandson said, "Granny," and she said, "Yes, my child," he said, "the river's right close by here, and it's really a hot day. Can we just go swimming?" And his grandmother burst out laughing and saying, "Of course, my child, jump right in." I love that story because it kind of puts my work in perspective. It's kind of an occupational hazard. I, like that grandmother, have invested a lot of my time and energy understanding the mysteries of faith and trying to get my brain wrapped around them and to be able to present them in a convincing and interesting way and to be able to answer people's questions who come to me. But sometimes I think I get caught up like that grandmother. And then every once in a while, I need to be reminded of that little boy, that little level, you know, "Can we just go swimming?" The interesting thing is, it seemed like he was not paying attention to what she was saying at all. He had no interest in it whatsoever. But do you know why his grandmother laughed? It's because she realized that at a deeper level, he was going to understand what a river was more than all her study did, because he was just going to jump in it and paddle around and be wet and enjoy it. That's the truth. You know, I could stand up here and talk to you about love until I was blue in the face and how to increase the love in your life. But if you yourself have not fallen in love or experienced love on a deep level, what I say will go in one ear and right out the other. But if you have fallen in love, you will immediately know about love at a deeper level than I could ever convey with my words, right? I could stand up here and talk about grief and how to deal with grief and the losses of your life, and that would be helpful. But if you haven't experienced a great loss in your life, it will go right over your head. But if you have experienced the loss of something precious and close and dear to you, you will immediately have experienced grief on a level that I could never convey with my mere words. And that is also then, and most importantly, and to the point, is I can stand up here and preach about God all day and all night, but until you have experienced God, you won't get it. But if God's love has touched your life in a very real, even momentary way, you will know, and you will have experienced God in a way that far exceeds anything that I will be able to say. And that brings us to a sermon that I've been wanting to preach for about a year. About a year ago, I was at one of my favorite spiritual mentors. And when I'm at these workshops, I take notes the old school way with just a pad of paper. And while I'm taking notes at a workshop, I'll keep the last couple pages of my notebook open. And anytime an idea hits me for something I might teach or an idea for a program here or for a sermon, I write it down. And I wrote this down a year ago, and I haven't had a chance to use it till today, but today is the day. I wrote, God doesn't need me to believe anything, but God needs me to experience everything that God has in mind. God doesn't need me to believe anything, just to think about it here and hold it in my mind. God needs me at the heart level, at the living level, to be able to experience his love, his forgiveness, his joy, his peace, everything that he has to offer. And I think that's so important because sometimes we think that our faith is just a belief system. And if we just get our beliefs right, that never works. It has to be a transformation of our very heart, our very soul, our very way that we're going to go about living our life. And that brings us to the first lesson today with the Apostle Paul. Paul was that great missionary who went all around, you know, the Mediterranean, founding little communities here and there. And his practice was really kind of simple and kind of against what we would do nowadays. He would come into a town, he would search out some believers, some worshiping Jewish believers, and he would go and meet with them and pray with them, and then he would tell them the good news about Jesus Christ. And he'd form a small group that were understanding what God was doing through Jesus Christ, and then he would go off. And he'd expect them to go on and grow and learn and become their own community. Well, as you can imagine, sometimes that had challenges. And this little believing community that he started in Galatia, soon after Paul was gone, other people came in and they were intrigued by these people who kept talking about this Jesus. And they said, tell us about this Jesus and what you understand about the faith. And these poor little new believers in Galatia tried to explain what Paul had taught them. And, of course, these other people said, where did you get such crazy ideas? That's not how God works. Let me tell you the truth. And, you know. And when Paul got word of that, he wrote this letter back to them, and he wanted to defend what he had to teach them and how interesting it is what he called upon for his ultimate authority. He did quote scriptures, but that wasn't his ultimate authority. You realize Paul could not even say that he had met Jesus in the flesh. He couldn't even call on that. Rather, he had to say this. The gospel that was proclaimed by me was not of human origin, for I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. The basis, his sole basis for authority is, I had an experience of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't what I was taught by any human being. I had a direct experience. And guess what? Paul expects us to have that same experience. It's not always what we believe, although that is important to get that straight. But it is even more important what we experience of God in our life. You know, belief on the one hand doesn't demand much, right? We can believe all sorts of things in our mind. We can get all argue about them, but those things don't always get us to change, do they? It got me thinking of one of my favorite quotes from Alice Through the Looking Glass. Isn't that just a new movie? And Alice, of course, has these ridiculous conversations with all these characters, and she's talking to one of the queens, and the queen is telling her just this nonsense and expecting her to believe it. And Alice finally laughed, and she said, well, there's just no use trying. She said, you can't believe impossible things. And the queen says, I dare say you haven't had enough practice. When I was younger, I always did it for half an hour a day. Why, sometimes I believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast. Belief is easy. Transformation of our lives, that is the real challenge. Paul could point out, he says, I knew more about what our beliefs were, our Jewish beliefs, than any of you. I've studied this. I have a PhD level understanding of what our belief system is. But, he points out, that didn't prevent me from persecuting and martyring innocent people. When your belief system can lead you to killing innocent people, you realize your belief system is not enough. And that's when Paul said, God was gracious enough to come to me and let me experience beyond any belief his son Jesus Christ. So if experiencing God is what matters. How do we do that? Well, I could suggest all sorts of little things, prayer practices and all this. But maybe let's go back to Paul and suggest this. Maybe you are already having the experience of God right now, every day of your life, and all you need to do is have your eyes open to that experience. Listen to what Paul says. I was advanced in Judaism beyond any among my people. But when God, who set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me. Do you hear what he said? Before he was born, God already knew him, had set him apart, had wanted him to experience his grace. Paul isn't just talking about himself as some special holy saint. He's talking about all of us. What if you realize that from before you were born, God was already intending to work in your life to reveal his love to you? Why do you keep coming to this place? Many, many reasons, but again, let me suggest that deep down in your heart, there is this love, this purpose, this experience of God that is already there, always calling you to go deeper and to experience him more fully. And he simply asks you to open your life to that. It's good to be reminded of this every once in a while. And the priority of this. Because it's so easy to lose it sometimes. And that brings me to my final story about a little parable about a river. There's a traveler walking along on dusty roads, thirsty under the hot sun, was feeling pretty miserable, and all of a sudden the trail ran right to a river, right alongside. And the traveler looked at that beautiful water, and it seemed so refreshing and would be so good, crystal, clear, and cold to drink. And so he jumped right in, let the water just get him completely wet, and came out of that river just renewed, alive again, and was so pleased and thrilled by his experience of entering the river that he saw a couple other travelers walking by, dusty, thirsty, said, come on in, jump on in. And they did, and they came out of that water just refreshed and renewed. They couldn't stop inviting people to have this same wonderful experience, and soon people from far and wide would come to that spot in the river to enter that wonderful, wonderful river. As it went by, somebody suggested, well, entering in the river is so special, we should have some special little ceremony to welcome people to enter into the river. And so they developed that. Somebody said, well, maybe anyone who wants to come and enter the river here, maybe they won't know where the spot is, so let's build a nice building here that people can come and we can enter the river through there. Someone said, well, this is such a significant thing for us. We should write a book about the theology of entering the river. And so somebody did, but guess what? Somebody argued with that and wrote their own book. And somebody said, no, neither of those books are good, and wrote a third book. And pretty soon a group broke off and built another little building right on the riverbank there to enter the river. And this kept on and on as more people came. Guess what? It got so crowded in the river that some people thought, well, what might be best is maybe we shouldn't even have people go down to the river. We'll bring the water up from the river into our buildings, and we'll sprinkle some water on people. And it kept going from bad to worse. Till one day, one person was walking by and thinking, how did we ever get to this? No one's ever going to the river anymore. We're just arguing about it. We're just building new buildings along here about the river. We're not happy. And she found her way down to the bank of the river, which had always been flowing. It had never stopped. It was flowing behind all these various river entering buildings. And as she stood there, her foot slipped, and she fell into the river, and she got completely wet and came out refreshed and alive once again. We try here as our best to bring people to a real experience of Jesus Christ. And I know a lot of times you get that. But a lot of times we get distracted. We get carried off in other things. We get into our beliefs and into our head. And that's why it's wonderful to hear Paul call us back, each and every one of us back, to what is the basic reality of our lives. He says to us, you did not receive your knowledge of Jesus Christ from a human source, nor were you taught it, but you received it from a revelation, an experience of your God's love. Amen.